In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and we do this broadcast live by the grace of God, always by the grace of God. And his disciples came up to Jesus one day, and they said to him, "Teach us how to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And I'm telling you these words that Jesus gave us to pray happen to be reality. Whether they become your reality or not depends upon you and me. He said, when you pray Abba, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, Abba, Abba. I'm reading now from the first chapter of Mark. "And John was clothed in camel's hair, with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down or unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Luke says he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." These words are so important because Jesus said, when you pray, you call God Abba. You, I'm speaking to you now, are the beloved Son of the Father. You are the beloved Son in the beloved Jesus, because the vine and the branch gets its nourishment from the vine, and the same life that's in the vine is in the branch. So God says to us today, in Jesus, you, me, are his beloved sons and daughters. Now, I just want you to, you know, this is so important because, you know, we live in a fatherless generation, and this is foreign to us. You see, we see Jesus and we love Jesus. It's wonderful to love Jesus. We even get the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit brings power, and we've seen it in our ministry. But the Father is left out. The Father is left out, and Jesus came to reveal the Father. Before we die, we should have that relationship with Daddy, with Papa. Thou art my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with you. You see, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ did not die for junk. He died because you were important. You see, you are not a bunch of crap that Jesus put his mantle of righteousness over you. But anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That Jesus saw you as valuable and me, and that's why he died and rose from the dead. And therefore we can call God Abba, Papa, Daddy. You've got to call God who he is. He's your Papa. He's your Daddy. And he becomes that through the shedding of the blood of Jesus and through grace and faith. He becomes that to us because Jesus shed his blood for you and Jesus shed his blood for me. And he becomes Abba. Father, when you pray Daddy, Papa, Daddy. It tells us that the Spirit himself breathes in us and that the Spirit cries out, Abba, Daddy, Father, Papa. So you have a daddy, I'm going to tell you. Your daddy on earth might have been missing. I told you yesterday, my poor father, his father died when he was an infant. So my father was not raised by a father. Which means he couldn't father me. He didn't know how. It wasn't his fault. There's no blame. But that the Heavenly Father wants to be Papa, Daddy. And I tell you, the Lord says to those that are his, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thou art my beloved Son, in the beloved Jesus, of course, in whom I am well pleased. That's who you are. Not what you do, but who you are. See, what you do should come from who you are. You don't have to rack up brownie points for the Lord. The Lord loves me because I'm doing this broadcast. No, I'm doing this broadcast because the Lord loves me. It's not gaining any brownie points from God. It is not that we have first loved God, but that he first loved us and gave his Son as a sacrifice for us. It is not that I first decided to love God. I didn't decide to love God at all. He decided to love me. And as a result, by grace, can I love him? You know, I'm telling you that the law was given through Moses. And if you did all these things, you would be accepted. But grace and truth come from Jesus. I want you to know that most people are living under the Mosaic law, trying to please God, when already the Father says, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I cannot please God. He says he's pleased with me. And then from that reality, I can work out of. Not that I'm going to do all these things and God will love me. No, God loves me whether I do all these things or not. Let me just remind you that for a whole year, I was not able to preach. For a whole year, off and on, I was not able to preach. And the Lord said to me, and he spoke to me, I said, Lord, I need the anointing back. And he said to me, you never lost it. But it didn't feel that way because I was sick. I was taking the wrong medicine. I was sick. And the medicine that should have been helping me was making me sicker. So for a whole year, I would look at the house that I'm in, drive by and say, oh my gosh, the microphone is there. And I don't want to even think about it. Or I would drive by the antenna at WROL in Saugus and I would say, oh Lord, that's the antenna. And my voice is going out as a tape, but at least it went out. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to speak again. But you see, whether I speak or don't speak, that's not the issue. I am the beloved Son of the Father. I am the beloved Son of God in Jesus, in Him, in Jesus. And that's who you are. That's who you are, in Jesus. And then, if that's who you are, then you have to live like a son. You have to know who you are. You live like a son. You don't live like the world. You live like the son out of who you are. You don't rip people off because I'm a son of God. You don't do things bad because I'm a son of God. That's who I am. You don't look at things you shouldn't be looking at on the internet because a son of God doesn't live that way. The son of God lives by grace, through faith. You see, who we are is the biggest mystery. The problem with most priests, I'd say 97%, maybe 99%, is that the poor priest doesn't know his identity as a priest, as a man of God. Oh, he can read out of a book. Oh, he can celebrate Mass reading out of a book. But he doesn't know the influence that God has given him through ordination. He doesn't know that. The devil hides it from him. Just as for 1 year, the devil hid from me what God had called me to do from all eternity, to be his son and to preach his word in season and out of season. So I don't regret that year. I have no regrets. It just happened that way. And God has shown me that he even used those wonderful tapes. I used to listen to myself preach. And as I listened, I would say, because I was sick, who is this man? I don't know this man. It was me. I don't understand what he's saying. How could this man be me? How could he say these things when I can't even open my mouth? And it came to pass in those days, as Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus could do nothing until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And we think we do not need that Holy Spirit. The only thing we have is the Bible. But let me tell you, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to do the ministry of God, finally ending up with the great ministry of the cross, I'm telling you, how much more do I need the Holy Spirit? How much more do you need the Holy Spirit? Much more. And there the Spirit of God alighted on Jesus. This is the Son of the Father. First thing the Holy Spirit does is tells us we're the sons of God. You are God's children now. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. But we know when it comes to light, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, my Lord. That is beyond me. I don't even know what that means. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, no more through a veil, no more through a cloud, but face to face, and heart to heart, and eye to eye. We shall see him as he is, my Lord. Only the Spirit of God can reveal that to us on this side of heaven. And I guess that's what the church is called to be. The church is called to be a little bit of heaven. People should be coming into our church and feel a little bit of heaven. Let me tell you this. Even while I was sick, I tried to preach. And it didn't come out. It was like I had this block, but I still could say some words. And there are two people that have come to our church, two faithful people from Malden. One man who is hunched over, that his back, his head almost touches his feet. Yesterday he walked into the church with the walker and his wife. And they said, we come here because we know God is here. Oh, yo, we know God is here. Even while I was sick, the presence of God drew these people. They come from Malden. We don't get them from across the street. And the man walks up to the altar every time he comes and kneels. I'm telling you, his head is near his feet. His Parkinson's disease. It's amazing. The church should be a bit of heaven. It should be the place where people meet God. It should be the place where people experience the presence of God, heaven. But I'm telling you, if we celebrate Mass as if it's just a bunch of words, if we are not preaching the Word of God to prepare to receive the sacrament, I tell you, the church is just a building. I remember going into a church one day. I've told you this before. It was around Christmas time, and people were starting to decorate the tree, the giving tree, I think it was. And the Lord spoke to me in that church. He said to me, please worship me here, because I am poorly worshipped. I am not worshipped here in this place. And I thought, why would God tell me a thing like that? He doesn't need my worship. Every church should be a place where the Father is worshipped, where Jesus is worshipped, where people experience salvation, where heaven drips in. But you know what? It's not like that. For most part, so many people have made the church a business. A business. And I tell you, I do not head up a business in Winthrop. I don't head up a business. That's wonderful for the people of God that need to be business-like. I am not a businessman. I'm not called to do business. I'm called to preach the Word of God. I'm called to pray with people. I'm called to be a light so that the people can be a light. But you see, most places, it's a business. It's a business. I remember, you know, when we were kids, 21, 22, we experienced the great baptism of the Holy Spirit. We experienced Jesus Christ. And we went from one place to another asking, can we have a prayer meeting in your church? No. No. Everything is fine here. We have business as usual. And I'm thinking, that's his problem. The poor bum, that's his problem. Business as usual. And I, as a 21-year-old person, knew that there was much more than business. There was God. There was Jesus. There was the Holy Spirit. There was a community. But he would not let us in. And I was inspired one night to call the cenacle I had known about the Cenacle, that the Cenacle was on Lake Street. So I got the number of the Cenacle. And who did I get but Sister Rita Drinkwater? And I said to her, we have a group of about 25 young people. Can we come and pray in your place? She said, I just received the baptism of the Spirit. I think she said that. And tomorrow we're going to decide what we're going to do with the Cenacle for the year. We have our schedule made out. I'm going to ask that we have these young people come on a Wednesday night. And that's how we got to the Cenacle, on a Wednesday night. I tell you, most people did not want us. They wanted to do business. But you see, we didn't do business. We didn't even know there was a business. Had no idea that we could do business. We just had an idea of preaching the love of Jesus, the love of God, the presence of God. That's all we knew. Isn't that wonderful? To know nothing else but that. That's wonderful. But you see, most people don't know that. The church should be the place where God's presence is experienced. That the walls should be saturated with prayer. Let me tell you about our benches. The other night, we were worshiping God, and we do that on a Sunday night. We praise and worship at 7 o'clock. You'd like to come, you can come. But I saw Father Idick, and he was lying down in a bench. And it came to me that we got these benches from a Christian community. And when we got these benches, we were looking for benches. And I had priced seats that would cost us $60,000. And I said to the Lord, it's your money, and I'll spend the $60,000. But if there are benches around, I want the benches. Got a call from Sister, my gosh, I know her name better than I know my own, but it's not coming. Got a call from her. And she said, I understand you're looking for benches. A group of people wanted to give us their benches. You can call them up. So I called them up, and I said, I want your benches. And they said, well, will they fit? I said, I know they'll fit because we need benches, and God's sending us to you and you to us, and we need these benches. And when we went to pick up the benches, let me tell you what they said. These benches were well prayed in. How many times did we lie down in these benches, just allowing the Spirit of God to come upon us? These benches are like old friends. Old friends. I said, well, you know what? They're coming to another place where the Spirit of God will be. So your friends are being taken to another place where the Spirit of God is going to be. So as I saw Father Idick lying down on the bench, I thought about the community that gave us these benches, and how they considered them as friends as they were on their back, lying down, receiving the presence of God. The church should be the place where the presence of God comes. Tomorrow I'll talk more on the Our Father. I'll talk about the kingdom. I thought I was going to talk about the kingdom today, but I didn't. Just remember, thou art his beloved Son, in whom he's well pleased. Read that passage from the first chapter of Mark. I need to tell you that we need to hear from you. We are about $20,000 in debt. We have not paid our August bills yet. And if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, you bless us. I will not go into debt. That's one thing I will not do. I know it's the summer, and I know people are on vacation, and I know all those things, but this is our 28th year, and God has provided for 28 years. And we have tithed our money for 28 years, and we'll continue to tithe our money. And we want to be on in your area. but we need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128, or in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Today, I want you to read the first chapter of Mark. And for tomorrow, I want to prepare you to read the 15th chapter of John. I said some of that today. And just to meditate on the first chapter of St. Mark and the 15th chapter of St. John. Again, I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We are living in a fatherless generation. Fathers are the least important things in this world. We see that I say fathers are more important than mothers because their sons and their daughters get their identity from their fathers. A father that protects, a father that loves, a father that fathers his children. I want to tell you, we are living in a fatherless generation. And I pray that God would give the spirit of fatherhood to fathers, especially to priests. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.